At Market District, we believe in the power of great taste. So here's a little taste of all the delicious possibilities. Juicy, hand-picked heirloom tomatoes. Seared certified Angus steak over aged cheddar mashed potatoes. Or how about fresh dough stretched by hand for every house-made pizza? Is your mouth watering yet? From produce to meats to chef-made meals, discover great taste at Market District.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! 1 hour to go in the big show. It is Barry, Nick, and Joel here with you, for you, because of you, The Usual Suspects.
Eric Christina said, I like how the show's a little savage. It's been a little savage all day long. Yeah.
I've noticed people like it when I get a little fired up sometimes, but, you know, from time to time it happens.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I don't, for my blood pressure and overall health and well-being, I probably shouldn't do it too often, but...
I don't mind it.
By the way, I want to plug, if you go to ESPN97.5 on Twitter, I also retweeted it, plus it's on the Facebook, but I cut a video about the Olympics.
Okay.
And it might be worth a watch for you guys. So go check it out. Go watch it.
Didn't you tease this already that you were going to do it and then you did it?
I did. I teased it and then I was going to do it yesterday and it didn't happen. So it happened this morning and it's out there. It's okay. On Elizabeth Sweeney, the Hungarian half pipe skier. So you just have to go watch it. It's not very long. It's like a minute maybe at the most. It's a minute 21 total. So it's not that long. So go check it out. ESPN 975, Facebook, Twitter.
I almost thought you were going to talk about Black China when you said half pipe.
Wow. Licking knees.
Hello. Just all right. Saying it. All right, let's get to Patrick. You've been waiting long enough. It's not the Raheel show, so you had to pause a little bit in your day. We appreciate you spending some time with us. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, man. Well, first let me say I'm not by my radio, so hopefully I can stay on the phone to listen to your response. But I'm wondering, should the Texans, with the lack of draft picks they have and the constant injuries, and apparently, from what I understand, a terrible contract for based on the injuries, do you think the Texans should explore trading J.J. Watt for if they can get like a first or a second round pick for him?
Go ahead, Barry. Unless you want me to start.
Yeah, I mean, Patrick, it's one of those things where I doubt a guy like Bob McNair is going to do something like that. He values a guy like J.J. Watt, not just for the on the field, but a lot of the off the field.
Image, community.
Image, yeah, exactly. So I don't know. I mean, I know that that's been thrown around for a while now, and J.J.'s never going to be the same, and the emergence of Jadeveon Clowney, and I don't think that that's going to happen. If you're cerebral about your football, then you would certainly give it some thought. But I wouldn't expect that from the Texans.
I just think you're right from the standpoint of Bob McNair's got a little Drayton McClain in him. When you talk about the Biggios and the Bagwells and other guys like that too, where regardless of where they are in their playing careers, the image and the community presence means something. Also, there's too many question marks in the variables because I don't know that any team is willing to give up a first round for J.J. Watt, no matter what he's done in the past. That doesn't mean when you trade for him, you're going to get that in the future. So you don't know what's left in the tank. And the first injury was one thing. The second injury, and you hear people that have gone through that injury, like Chester Pitts, like some of the other guys that have said, I was never the same. So there's too many question marks to think that they might even be able to get that high of a price tag for him because coming with it, is one hell of a big contract.
Plus, you have to wait until he dispersed all $37 million, or he might just take it and go and wherever he goes.
Yeah, the only way I can describe it is that as a tempting like consideration, but pulling the trigger on it, man,
it's two different things.
It's still a big decision.
Because what if he's the Nolan Ryan of the Texans?
And he plays his ass off.
And he goes out and leads the league in sacks for two of his final 5 years in the NFL. And he
won't be the first time the Texans look dumb.
No, but I'm just saying the Astros, the PR nightmare that happened after they let Ryan go to the Rangers and he got more no hitters. Like, I can tell you, there were people that gave up on the Astros because of it. They were so it would have been,
see that.
It would be like Dream having left and gone and won an MVP in Toronto. You think the city would have forgiven the Rockets for letting that happen? They're certainly not going to forgive it if J.J. Watt. And I heard Dale and Rahil talking about this a little bit on their show because somebody asked about him and, you know, would he be able to come back? Here's the thing, and I thought Dale said he would have to be, it would be really rare for him to come back and perform at that level. But understand the kind of athletic person you're dealing with in J.J. Watt, is if there's anyone that's going to come back and regain that level that he was at, it would be J.J. Watt.
It would be, to me, from personal experience, being a Packer fan, Falcons fans still regret the fact that they gave up Brett Favre for like a second round pick. Or Eagles fans, Reggie White got away as a free agent when he had so many great years for the Eagles, and you were hoping he didn't have anything left in the tank, and then he went nuts for the Packers too. And so, but Reggie White didn't have any injuries either. He just went in free agency and he left. But with J.J. Watt, you're right. He's a freak of an athlete.
Yeah.
So there's always that chance.
But I mean, like in the case of Favre, wasn't he a backup?
Yeah, he was the backup.
Yeah. So in this case, you've got a guy who's won defensive player of the year, MVP talk, this, that, and the other. So I think it would be a little bit different because it was like Ryan had no hitters. He was, you know, the 86 Astros, and they had done those things. And then, so in that regard, I think that you're letting this commodity go. That you know what he's capable of, and that's the scary part of it for the Texans is, what if he does come all the way back? What if he's – but even J.J. Watt at 70-80% on the other side of a healthy Jadeveon Clowney is still a really good duo.
We've been clamoring for it. We've wanted to see it for years now. I mean, the last couple of years, we want to see what this defense would be if both those guys were healthy and were able to play a full season. So – yeah, it would be, you know what, you're hoping that he can still come back and he can contribute for you. It's just a very big price tag with all those question marks associated with it.
And there'd probably be more discussion of this if there wasn't a decent quarterback situation with Deshaun Watson. Like, if there wasn't a Deshaun Watson, then, you know, all that talk about, hey, trade J.J. Watt for a good quarterback. Point. This team needs a quarterback.
That's a good point.
But
because you've got an asset that you could move. But it just depends. Are you that desperate for a first-round pick that you're willing to take the gamble that J.J. Watt returns to J.J. Watt form? Because remember, if he is a freak of nature that we know him to be, and he is able in his mind, he can and he's determined enough, and he does return, you're talking about a guy that can lead this team to success along with Deshaun Watson. That's a risk. And I'm not saying that he's going to, but I'm just saying, would you be willing to gamble that?
Well, and I was going to say, more likely to use as in the scenario than J.J. Watt is Jadeveon Clowney. Would you give up Jadeveon Clowney for a first
package? But that's your insurance.
I'm just throwing it out there for the listeners who threw out J.J. Watt, saying, because there's a guy that at least you know you would get a first and maybe a first and a second in return for him, not in the same draft probably, but you could get some picks back. But are you willing to risk that? Because that one, teams are going to jump on it and kick the tires on, as opposed to a guy that's been hurt as much as J.J.
Speaking of greatness, Max Stassi just went, he's got two at-bats, another hit, another couple RBIs.
Just use greatness and Max Stassi?
He's hitting .429 now.
It's over. Starting catcher, opening day, Max Stassi.
Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt who your MVP is.
Write it down.
For the Astros. It's not Altuve. It's not Correa. Nope. It's Max Stassi hitting .429.
And he gets a trophy for that.
That's right. You know who my MVP of food is?
I do.
Cowboys and Indians, Texan Kitchen, baby! It's the best. They're located at 1901 Taft in Midtown. There are some of you listeners out there that are tweeting me in the last week or so that are like, hey, I'm going to go try it. And then I hear back from you and you tell me how good it is. And there are some of you that are saying you're going to go try it, but you haven't yet. What are you waiting for? I get it. Lunch is gone, but dinner's right around the corner. Go out there tonight, check it out, and then let me know what you got and let me know what you thought about it. I know you're going to love it. If you don't know what Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen is, it's a fusion of both Southern comfort and Indian food. So that means if you want Indian food, like the best butter chicken in Houston or chicken curry or lamb vindaloo, you can get that at Cowboys and Indians. But if you want sliders or a burger or chicken fried steak, they've got that as well. What I love about it is all of it is delicious. Even if you want to eat healthy, you can get chicken, some rice, some green beans. You can eat healthy there. They've got every option available that you could think of at your fingertips. And if you can't make it out there tonight, but you still want that delicious food, you can have it delivered to your house via DoorDash, Uber Eats, or Grubhub. There's no reason not to have Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen for dinner tonight. And I know Joel loves the non-quesadillas. Those are quesadillas made with non-bread and not just your regular tortillas. So here's what they're doing. If you want the non-quesadillas, mention ESPN 975. You'll get 20% off. That's my appetizer. I start with the non-quesadillas, and then I get into it after that. And by the way, take my tip. Get the red velvet cake for a dessert. You'll love it. 1901 Taft in Midtown. More information on Facebook at CNI713. Take your taste buds on a delicious journey around the world. It's Cowboys and Indians Texan Kitchen.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back. Final hour. Usual Suspects. Astros up 6-1 against the Mets. Shocker. The entire world stopped in like the sixth inning because Tim Tebow came up to the plate.
Howdy do, howdy do.
Promptly struck out.
Oh.
Shocker, right?
Oh.
Stroh's still playing good baseball. That's good. We were talking J.J. Watt before the break, talking about the question a caller posed, not us. Would you trade J.J. Watt to get in return a first-round pick back or to try and recoup the picks that you're missing coming up in this year's draft? We'll take the logistically logical call of the ones on the board first.
Carmine.
Yeah. We'll take Carmine. What's up, Carmine? How you doing, buddy?
Joel, how you doing?
Good, man. Good to hear your voice. What's up?
Nice to talk to you. So I'm glad you said that because I picked up that J.J. Watt segment halfway through, I guess. I'm glad you said someone else proposed that because that's insane. Or trading Connie. I'm not sure why we'd be looking to trade like two of like the five like legitimate players they have on the roster right now.
Well, the question with Clowney, Carmine, comes from the fact that you're going to have to pay him. And guys on national TV have said, including John Gruden and others, Clowney should be the highest paid non-quarterback in the league. Do you agree with that? And do you think he's worth that?
Well, that's fine, but teams that usually worry, this isn't the Patriots we're talking about where they're going to like trade a guy that's due money and then stockpile like four slightly above average guys in the draft. They hit on like one guy, like Clowney, Hopkins, Watt, and then the rest of the draft picks suck. So you can't be trading away the one guy you hit on to load up on picks when you're going to hit like on maybe one of five of them or something.
But you didn't answer my question. Like, is he worth being? Are you going to pay him as the highest paid non-quarterback in the league?
Yes,
you are. Barry, are you?
Clowney?
Yeah,
you're going to have to.
If you want to retain him,
you're going to have. It's going to cost you a grip. There's no doubt. Right now, the highest paid non-quarterback in the league is Ndamukong Suh, making $26 million. That's his cap hit for 2018.
God, that's unreal.
So are you going to do that? Are you going to pay that amount for Jadeveon Clowney? Is he worth that?
That's what I'm saying. Is he worth 26 more than that?
Here's the beautiful thing about it. I think if J.J. Watt can stay healthy, then you'll find out. Because if you feel like you can get 3 years, maybe three more years out of Watt, then you might be able to fade Clowney if you think Watt is fully back.
Still got, yeah.
But if he's 70, 60, 50%, then I think you have to look at that and go, man, to have a dominant pass rush along with Merciless and some of these young guys, and I'm assuming that they're going to draft some secondary. And let's be real, and I heard, I don't know, Lance, but I want to give credit where credit is due on the take, but and it's a great point, a point that's been made a lot. But the fact of the matter is, without a pass rush, your secondary is always going to look worse. So if you can have a legit pass rush, and you've got this young secondary that you probably are going to have to flip now and get to,
yeah.
It's definitely a benefit.
See Green Bay. If you don't have a pass rush, your secondary looks 10 times worse.
Yeah.
So it's definitely something to consider, but that's why I'd counter with that, just to see what you might say about that. All right. he's next in line.
Uh-huh. It's a J.J. Watt fan is what it says.
It says J.J. Watt fan. I'm pretty sure we'll be able to recognize the voice. What's up, J.J. Watt fan?
First of all, let us pray for Brother Patrick and his suggestions with the filth and the trash that was spewed from his mouth. Clearly, he is demon-possessed.
Okay, let's pray.
Oh, there he goes.
That was it. That was it. He is demon-possessed because he doesn't want... he's considering trading J.J. I don't think it's ridiculous. I'm just saying I don't think this team ever does that.
Look, if J.J. Watt never got hurt, the first time or the second time, never got hurt, no doubt in my mind he's still playing at a level where he's earning every bit of that contract, especially where salaries are going. You just mentioned Ndamukong Suh, which I wouldn't even put him in J.J. Watt's top 10. He can't even get close to sniffing. He's okay. He's never really produced at a level in that people thought he was going to, and then you get off the field crap. But JJ on and off the field, if he never gets hurt, sure, he's going to earn every penny of that contract. But based on this is another big time injury, and you have all these question marks about if, as opposed to when, it's a big difference. Like when he gets back to full speed, he may never get back to his old form. So that's what bothers me.
Okay.
We'll see.
I did appreciate the delivery that OU Mike had on that phone call.
Are you insinuating that was OU Mike?
I'm just J.J. Watt fan.
That was a J.J. Watt
fan. That's all that is.
Nick.
Yeah, my bad.
Until you heard, and then it pretty much gave it away.
Yep.
All right, before the break, let's get Adam in here. Adam, question about the draft. What's up?
Hey, guys. I was wondering if you think any teams would do next year's first-round pick, this year's third-round pick, and next year's fifth-round pick for a first-round pick this year.
Why would you give up that much?
I mean, Adam, there's 1,000 scenarios that you could probably come up with in your head and wonder about. I don't know what any team would do.
Well, and it depends on who you like. If there's a guy that you think is a...
Well, I don't want to not answer his question.
No, I'm answering.
It's a complete guess what any team would be willing to do for...
I'm answering his question by saying, look,
you're just completely guessing then. It's all speculation.
But I'm saying, no, if there's someone that you know... you've targeted in this first round or projected first round picks that you really want. You think he could really help you. And then you identify team or teams that would be willing to trade out of the first round. You could consider if that's your guy, but that's a big price tag when you're talking about firsts and fifths and other firsts, and it's not worth all that unless you're talking about a generational player or a guy that's going to be with you and be all pro level. And there's no guarantees like that. I don't think this, and you don't even know what position they're looking at.
It's just, I don't know. There's certain things that I'm willing to discuss about J.J. Watt, like would I or should they, but just to guess what someone would take for him, there's no way of knowing.
But
that.
Wasn't his question though? Would you?
No,
trade?
He was like, could they get a first and a third?
Not for J.J. He said for a first round this year, if you got a first round for a first round pick this year,
even that, you
would
don't know
you
what
give
the hell
up next year's first
take?
And fifth and another first?
No.
I wouldn't either.
No. I'm not. They've already mortgaged their future once. Time to pay the piper. If you could get rid of a couple of picks in this draft to move up the second round to add an offensive lineman, or there's a safety that you just love in the first round that you've got to have, that's different because you're giving up picks later in the draft. But stop mortgaging the future now. You did that. You've got your quarterback. Hang on to your draft picks. You're going to need to rebuild the team.
Yep, I'm with you. All right, half hour to go to the big show. Don't go anywhere. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the big show as we're ready to go with all of it and more. Then we're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home till 7, all right here, ESPN 97.5. You scanning the globe?
What?
Are you scanning the globe, checking all the electronic messaging?
Scanning? Who used to do that? Spanning the globe.
Wide World Sports.
Oh, it was Wide World.
Scanning the globe to bring you the best sports coverage. And they always showed that guy on that ski jump that wipes out and like starts a yard sale, shedding his skis and twisting. And remember, he went down the ramp and hit it the wrong way and just totally bit it. Jim McKay.
Yeah. I don't understand this. All texting, no tweeting. Guys, would you give me a hamburger today if I give you two tomorrow?
Wimpy. Oh, that's Wimpy from Popeye.
Somebody wanted to know if I know who Grady Pruitt is. Yeah, I know who Grady Pruitt is. Yes. He's a local comedian.
Okay, I don't.
He opened for Bobby Lee. They said he killed. Yeah, Grady's a good comic. Very funny dude. That was from Jared. So I tweeted out the video. If you guys want to check it out, I discussed the Olympics ad nauseum. Well, I guess it really wouldn't be ad nauseum. It was like a minute, but go check it out. Now, I saw you post this link, and I didn't have a chance to read it, but I'm curious. Mm-hmm. The headline just says, the Vikings are clearing the deck to go after Kirk Cousins. Was there anything pertinent? Because we kind of figured that's what they're doing, right?
So,
was there any extra info?
We knew the one axe had dropped, which was that they were not going to give Case Keenum the franchise.
Three, type. Right? I mean, they didn't have anybody.
So the rest has yet to be decided. But now they're saying today, Teddy Bridgewater is going about his business and acting and carrying on like he's already a free agent. So now there's two. And then Bradford's the only guy left. And with the injuries and everything like that, they're assuming he's just going to go out there and see. And they're going to say, hey, get whatever you can. And then before you sign, let us see if we're interested in matching. But it seems like they've completely cleared the cupboard. And the guy that they have their eyes on is Kirk Cousins. Kirk Cousins, for as much many people as thought the last 2 years when they franchise tagged him, was like making silly money he didn't deserve, is going to get even more now because you got the Jets after him. You got the Vikings after him. Other teams are still looking at him. Dude's going to get into a bidding war and just get silly money.
So, yeah. So this dropped it at 9 o'clock today. And here's, I was scanning it. I found this paragraph to be the most interesting. It says, so Keenum's a free agent after the journeyman turned in a magical season that no front office in its right mind would count on him repeating. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair. Mm-hmm. Bridgewater, 5 years younger but with uncertain health prospects as a free agent. They're not going to re-sign Sam Bradford, is what it says. It says the Vikings could bring Keenum back at a cheaper rate than the franchise tag or Bridgewater, but neither is plan A for a starter. So I don't think they're going to re-sign Sam Bradford. I at this point, I think they're putting all their, according to the article, they're not going to re-sign Sam Bradford as a standalone sentence. So I think at this point, it's Kirk Cousins or bust for the Vikings. I would almost want to have one of those three guys under contract as my backup, but it's so expensive. It's going to be such an expensive backup that you got to say, all right, so now you've got to know, what if you don't get Kirk Cousins? Well, is there going to be some hurt feelings? Maybe, but you know what? You know what? I mean, money is going to heal all those hurt feelings. But any of those three guys that you may want to sign if you fail to get Kirk Cousins is going to cost you more because of it.
Here's the thing. Look, Foles is a separate story because Foles wasn't getting any offers from anywhere. So Foles settled for what at the time he thought was better than what he thought he was going to get money anyway. And it worked out for both sides. Now everybody, as we talked about, teams that are on the cusp are going to say, hey, I need to spend a little bit more on a backup quarterback in case something happens. So we stay in it because of the blueprint that the Eagles put forth. Now when you look at that and you say, hey, two of those three guys, Barry, mm-hmm. I would think if they got a Foles-type contract at the end of the day, if they weren't getting any interest otherwise, would still snarf it up. And like you said, even if it's the Vikings, I think they'd still go back knowing that, hey, at least they got guaranteed money and they got a deal. Being Bradford and Bridgewater. But I think if you're Case Keenum, you should have your feelings hurt to the point where you don't go back unless they say you're going to be the starter and they still reward you with money close to what you thought you would have gotten. Because you're right, between the Jets, Vikings, whoever else tries to throw their name in the hat, if it's the Cardinals or whoever it is, the teams that lose out are going to have to find another option. And if you're the Vikings and you let all three of these guys go, you may need, they know your system, you may need to knock on that door again.
I find it fascinating that any one of those three guys is going to cost the Vikings more than potentially anybody else. If you think about that.
The franchise tag.
That's what's crazy.
Yeah.
Is the franchise tag would have given you, but who's spending the franchise tag on what would essentially be a backup? But if there's hurt feelings involved because you're like, nope, we're going after Kirk Cousins. It's Kirk Cousins or else. Your or else could cost you a lot of money.
Yeah, crazy. And you know what? As a Packer fan, I'm really happy if they go after Kirk Cousins because he hasn't proven to me consistently that he is a big-time quarterback that's going to take a team to the promised land.
So you think but I mean, everyone seems to think across the board that Kirk Cousins is the real deal.
What did he do with the Redskins?
He wouldn't be commanding what he's commanding wouldn't be getting the attention that he's getting.
He was getting what he was getting and got what he got because the Redskins had nothing to back as a backup plan. And didn't want to lose him and find that he explodes somewhere else. So they kept him around. But it's obvious Dan Snyder, after two of those years, went, maybe we're done. Okay. So they're just going to let him walk. If he was really that big of a deal, would the Redskins let him walk? Would they have traded for Alex Smith?
I think that they wanted a cheaper option.
Okay, that.
But the Redskins don't make a lot of sense in the deals they do to begin with.
But they're known for overspending. So you would think that if they thought that there was even an ounce of what you're saying in him to possibly be a big-time quarterback, that they would continue to do what they've been doing and spend it and keep him.
Well, you certainly wouldn't franchise him for 2 years if he thought he was a bum because you paid out the ass for
and then you let him guy. Walk.
Yeah, well.
And you traded for Alex Smith.
At least you didn't get locked into a long-term deal.
They still gave him a lot of money.
Maybe they just don't feel like they're in a position where having a guy like that yet would matter for them. Who knows? I can't speak to why.
They, like you said, though, but they do a lot of dumb stuff.
Perkins wants to know, he said the Rangers signed Tim Lincecum today. Do you think he still has anything left in the tank?
I mean, look, I saw him throw last year, and it looked like, you know, besides cutting off his hair, he looked like he's taking better care of himself, and he got a little of his velocity back. But there's a guy that used to be just flat nasty and crazy and bring it. And
for 4 years, he was the real deal. And then he just fell off the face of the earth, essentially. I mean, he had won 18 games at one point, and he couldn't – I think he won, 10 or 11 was the best he'd done in the last 4 or 5 years. I don't think you look at – I mean, crazier things have happened. He's not that old. He's 33. He's probably still got a few years left in him, but – I just wouldn't expect anything big out of Tim Lincecum.
No. I mean, look, they're grasping at straws in Arlington. Yeah. I mean, they've taken chances and tried to make offers to a lot of guys just to try and get some pitching to try and save face and keep that team somewhat competitive. But good luck to you. I'll take the – I'm not worried about the Rangers. I mean, you saw what the Astros have for a pitching staff and all the starters that they got. That's all you need to worry about. As long as those guys are healthy, I don't care who the Rangers have.
Yeah.
Cole Hamels doesn't scare me.
Hamels, Perez, Fister, Moore, Minor, and Bush is their rotation right now as it stands without Lincecum in there.
So Fister went from the Red Sox to the Rangers after being with the Astros.
And he's projected as their number three.
Oof, boy.
Yeah.
Good luck with that. And you got to face the Astros lineup. So, again, doesn't really scare me. You know,
my favorite thing is coming up, like where I get to sit down and project what I think each division winner is in baseball, who's going to be in the playoffs, who's going to be the wild card. And I don't know why, but of all the prep we do, because we do prep, we do that for every season, right? For the NFL and we have our predictions for basketball, which we probably need to revisit at some point because it's close to the All-Star break. But of all those, that's kind of fun. But I don't know why I get so geeked out for the baseball stuff.
Because you're a baseball guy.
And I am a dork when it comes to baseball.
And you're an analytical guy. So that combination can get you geeked up.
I think the stats thing comes from the fact that I started playing fantasy so long ago, and then I was so heavy into the stats when I really got into baseball that I think the combination of this, almost like this is so weird that I'm bringing this up. It's full circle of what we were talking about earlier. But it's kind of like a fetish. I was talking to Beth. We were after our show or at the parties at the open house. I ended up talking to Beth, the writer of Love and Laughter, the book. And we were talking to, for somehow we got on the subject of fetishes. And she was like, a lot of times it just comes from the fact that when you were a very young kid, whatever that thing is, was it either in your life or you had noticed it at a point when you were happy or it made you happy and that evolved into a fetish. And I found that fascinating. And I think that's why I love baseball and stats, is because when I fell in love with baseball, it was because I was playing fantasy and fell in love with the stats. So, because I don't usually want to listen to a guy just regurgitate stats, but I like getting into them myself.
Did you play Strat-O-Matic baseball?
No.
That was one for a lot of stat guys.
I started in Sporting News and just did – I would mail in my team, and then you would do a monthly change. So I would have to project out, okay, these are going to be the starters. And then you had to rip the page out of the sporting news, put it in an envelope and mail in your roster. That's when I started playing fantasy.
The other thing I was going to tell you guys, ask you guys about, Lisa's home today. So instead of watching ESPN and everything, prepping for the show, she's watching Megyn Kelly. Buzz Bissinger, you know who he is?
I have no idea who that is.
Wrote the book Friday Night Lights.
Okay.
Okay. But the segment on the show was all about fetishes, because you mentioned fetishes and things.
Yes.
Okay. He has a fetish.
Uh-oh.
For leather and for shopping, to where he's married, his kids went to college, wife got a job to where she was working in like Dubai, and he was by himself, and he couldn't stop shopping. He said he spent over $1 million on clothes that he didn't need, didn't want, but then realized it wasn't just clothes, it was leather. And they show him wearing heels, leather pants, leather bomber jackets, all these different things. Some of them are a little... He's wearing black nail polish when he's on the show, but he's married with a kid, and he said... And he's all about, like, at some point, you can't keep masking. I was on Wall Street, and I was wearing baggy khakis and sport coats, and I realized I was just masking what my fetish is, and I had to see it through. And I while he's on the show,
so is
he's
he cross dressing?
No, not really. He was wearing leather pants in a lot of them. Some of them he was wearing like Prince shoes, you know, like the little
booties. So not high heels, not like,
oh, they were high heels.
They was red bottoms.
They were not red bottoms, but they were high heels with leather pants with a leather bomber. Okay. All that. But he had said, look, I was just trying to find myself, explore things, do things with fetishes. But while he's talking to her the entire time, he's rubbing his leather pants. And she finally goes, I do realize that you haven't stopped. He's like, well, I'm nervous, but it's not a sexual thing, but it really does make me feel good to know that while I'm talking to you, I'm still rubbing leather.
And also,
that's weird.
Yeah. No, it's not a, I'm just nervous. Also, I have a boner. So, okay.
Yeah, he's like, so I don't want to get anybody fired up from a sexual perspective, or it's not a sexual thing, but yeah, I do feel better when I'm rubbing. All right.
It's creepy.
And he wrote Friday Night Lights. And then he was talking about money. I'm sure with the residuals from the movie, the show, the book, he ain't hurting either.
No.
He had some fur coat he bought in his closet, too, that was like $18,000, never had the tags taken off of it.
That's creepy.
There's money well spent. All right, we got one segment to go in the big show. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Your home for sports is ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the big show as we continue to stack them and rack them. Good show again, boys, today.
Oh, you, Mike, said that guy that you're talking about that wrote Friday Night Lights sounds like he's got some Johnny Weir in him.
I was wondering when the Johnny Weir reference, because I thought instead of J.J. Watt, he was going to pull just the J.W. and ended up being a Johnny Weir deal, but there it is. Yeah. He got it in via text message.
A nice text to remind us that the Rangers have also added Edson Volquez. So.
Okay.
Yeah. There you
still
go.
Still, they're retreading.
Yep.
Hoping to find lightning in a bottle or in someone's left or right arm, as the case may be.
Yep.
But we'll see. You know, Cole Hamels will be the first guy on the hill, it looks like, for the Astros to see in the regular season as they open up in Arlington.
Good. Bring it on.
I'm saying. I just hope Yuli's not serious.
It worries me a little bit, but that's also, again, why if you're an Astros fan, it's early and they're deep. There's a ton of talent on that roster, so he's a big bat. And I actually think Yuli's going to have a huge year. I really do. I think if you put his bat in the middle of that lineup and give him a little bit of protection, I'm expecting him to have, you know, obviously a better year than he did last year, but I think he could have a really big year this year.
I think it's interesting. I heard John and Lance talking about it the other day, and it's true. I mean, at the time that the Astros were looking at and in the bidding war to get Yuli Gurriel, most people thought it was just so that they could sign or have the inside track to sign his brother. No one could have expected that the guy that they were getting, though he was good, no one could have expected that they were going to get what they got out of Yuli Gurriel, 32 years old still. I mean, I granted, looked at it as a rookie, but man, smacked the cover off of it.
Yeah, I disagree. I mean, from what I was seeing, and I'm not disagreeing with you or John and Lance necessarily, I'm just saying that I do feel like some people thought that the price that they paid for him, they expected a good return. I think that the benefit of going after him and spending that kind of money on him would be to be able to sign his brother. But if you don't, you still got a guy, you still got a professional big league hitter that has a ton of potential that he showed in Cuba. So he had 18 home runs last year. I think you could be looking at 25 from the guy, which is a big jump.
You're right. The money is the biggest thing. Look, if this kid, if you're talking about Yuli Gurriel at 25, probably would have commanded more. But the fact that he was already in his 30s, going to be a major league rookie, you don't know. Yeah, he's hit it in Cuba.
Yeah, he was fourth, and that's what most people forget. In 2016, when he came up, 36 games, he didn't even use his rookie eligibility. He was fourth in rookie of the year voting last year.
Yeah, in 2017. But I'm just saying, look, it would have been different if he was younger and had proven it over major league pitching, everything like that. But we're talking about international play in Cuba, all those other things. But look, was he a disappointment? No. Was he a bonus? Yeah, in some ways, but he can stick. And like you said, now another year with experience on major league pitching, I expect it to be a little better.
Yeah.
So I am a little concerned with his hand.
Okay. I think he'll hit 25. He might even hit 30. I'm going to try to do some sort of projections on what I think. Not for you guys or the show, because I know that's really boring to people, but I just for my own knowledge to be able to see what I think these guys will do. I think you could see him have a really breakout year. So here's hoping, if he's healthy.
You want to get to our
Do you still
NBA
have the list
picks?
Up, Nick?
Yeah, I still have. You want to go over the...
How many of us said Donovan Mitchell as Rookie of the Year?
Actually, I don't even want to reveal my Rookie of the Year. So
sir. So, now I'm going to have to pull up the list.
Awards. No, I'm not going
to make sure you're not
you.
Cheating.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
MVP, we each listed an MVP. We each listed a Rookie of the Year. We each listed a Coach of the Year. The top 8 seeds that we expected to be in the East and the West. Mm-hmm. Who's going to make it to the finals? The champs and the finals MVP. Those are all what we predicted. I guess we'll start with the MVP.
Okay.
Joel said Kawhi.
Okay. Stupid.
No, Barry said LeBron.
Oh, yeah. That was the easy road.
And Nick and I said LeBron as well. But I'm assuming this is season MVP, correct?
Yes, that was season MVP. Yeah.
Rookie of the Year. Simmons for Joel.
Both of us, I think.
Ben Simmons for Barry. And we're not going to reveal mine.
Wait. Who'd you say?
We're just going to skip over.
No. Who'd you say?
He's really having a ball with this. Who was your pick?
I'm Barry
Lonzo
or Joel.
Ball.
Who'd
Lonzo,
you say?
I picked Lonzo Ball to be Rookie of the
All
Year.
All right.
Whatever.
Hold on. Don't say anything. Turn down the music. I want to isolate this as a drop because this is probably the dumbest thing I've ever heard. All right, go ahead.
Moving on. Coach of the Year.
Yes.
Donovan for Joel.
Okay.
Scott Brooks for Barry.
At least I got a shot.
And Brad Stevens for myself. So I don't think either. All of us are pretty bad in that department.
Yeah. You still got a shot. If Boston gets the number one seed, you got a shot.
Okay.
Although D'Antoni, I think, is going to win it again.
You guys remember where y'all put the Rockets in terms of the West?
It wasn't 2 or 1. I can tell you that in my book.
I want to say I had them 3rd or 4th.
I would say 4th for me.
I might have
Joel
had them 4th.
Joel had them at 3.
Okay.
Barry had them at 3, and I had them at 4.
Okay.
All right.
So, I mean, But we were all wrong about the Cavs being
dominant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Although I still think they're going to come out of the East.
Okay.
You guys remember who's before? I'll say it again.
I think so too. I'm with you on that. I can't disagree with you on that. Just because LeBron and what they did.
No one puts the fear in my heart to say they're a good enough team to get there or win it.
Yeah. I have to agree with you on
that. So did we pick a world champion?
We all picked the same.
The Warriors?
Yep.
Okay.
And then the finals MVP, KD for Joel, KD for Barry, and then Steph Curry for myself.
Okay.
You didn't take Sean Livingston?
We took the safe route, didn't we?
I did not.
Or JaVale McGee. By the way, did you see JaVale McGee last night?
No.
Better yet, now the name escapes me. Who's the John, the political guy, satirist that has a show that used to be on The Daily Show? Was it The Daily Show?
John.
He's a comedian too, but I mean, he's kind of like Bill Maher, but he's very political.
Oh, John Stewart.
John Stewart.
Yeah.
John Stewart sitting courtside last night. So was Tracy Morgan. So was Chris Rock. They were all at the Garden for the Warriors game. JaVale McGee gets some playing time, and right down where John Stewart's sitting, JaVale McGee pulls the Dirk Nowitzki 1-foot fadeaway and nothing but the bottom. And right as he makes the shot, John Stewart puts both hands on his face, like, "Oh my god!" And just made, and everybody caught it, and it was on every show. Like, did you? How'd you really feel about the fact that JaVale McGee just made a Dirk Nowitzki shot on you?
Nice.
He was not happy.
No. Yeah, that's awesome.
That was very entertaining.
Somebody wants to know what's our Way Back Wednesday theme on the text line.
Yeah, we got to figure that out.
I'm kind of mad because early in the week, and it might have been on like Saturday or something, but I came up with an idea for a theme. And then it escaped me.
And but, we did rodeo stuff last week.
New Wave. Do you remember, because remember he played a
New Order or
he played New Order's, was it Blue Monday?
Can't remember that.
We should do like New Wave, like Depeche Mode and stuff like that.
Oh boy.
No? Okay.
What do you feel about that, Nick?
I don't know.
How about we just pick a year?
Why do we ask you? Because you're
I'm probably getting my Google fingers working. Right. Yeah, but still, I don't know.
How about
know.
We just pick a year and then just songs from that year?
Let's do it. 99.
Okay.
I don't know why I picked 1999.
I don't either, but I like it.
But I just threw that
out. We're just it's going to be songs from 1999.
Okay.
There it is. Easy enough. How was that? That was so easy.
Yeah, instead of thinking about it and texting about it later.
What is tomorrow, though? Like, what is... I used to do this all the time.
Today's National Pancake Day.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I don't know what if there's any significance to tomorrow.
No tie in there. How do we make that
By
work?
By the way, speaking of pancakes, did you... And I really wanted to talk about this. Have you been watching the Netflix special about... It's called, like, Dirty Money or something like that?
You're asking me. No.
No, yeah, you haven't.
Right. Nope.
They talk about the fact that there's, like, a maple syrup... monopoly in Canada, and you can't make maple syrup unless you meet stringent guidelines. They take their maple syrup really serious in Canada. Like, you don't mess around. It's almost like barbecue down here.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, they have a whole, like, OPEC. They have an OPEC for syrup in Canada. Like, OPEC is to oil, whatever this thing is in Canada is to maple syrup.
I guess when the maple leaf is on your flag, anything mapley is...
I suppose.
Important?
I don't get me lying. I was trying to look.
1999, huh, Nick? All right.
Are you already Googling?
I'm just thinking about it.
What is today? Today's the 27th.
Yeah, you know you're going to have 27th. The email with his list by the time you get home.
All right, so today is National Retro Day, National Kahlua Day, National Polar Bear Day, National Strawberry Day, National Pancake Day, and Space Day USA.
Thanks, Rich Lord.
And...
You got birthdays too?
No, but tomorrow I was trying to come up with a theme. Yep. It's Rare Disease Day. We could do songs about rare diseases. What was the song they did for AIDS?
We Are the World. Philadelphia?
No, I don't think that's a good sure. No.
We Are the World. That's
no,
one
Bruce
that's number one on my list.
That song, the theme song from the movie Philadelphia.
Here you go. National Tooth Fairy Day. We could just do songs by artists with bad teeth, so it'll be all British glam rock.
I thought you were going another way, and we're just going to get songs by Culture Club.
No. Yeah. National Public Sleeping Day? That would be the guy at the car wash. I thought it was, at first, you know how your mind sees words? I thought it said Public Speaking Day. It's Public Sleeping Day. Is that a thing?
You found out.
I don't know. And then there's National Floral Design Day, and then National Chocolate Souffle. What is a souffle, by the way?
Isn't that like a dainty cake?
It's like a pie?
Like a dessert?
Is it? Okay.
I think so.
All right, so we're doing songs from 1999. There you go.
There you
go. All right,
cool. So we've decided all that. We have decided it's time to go.
But we didn't talk about the new camel champion.
That won't be crowned until this weekend.
I thought it happened already.
No, it's this weekend at Sam Houston Race Park.
I thought it happened.
We're going to get him on the show, you know, him or her
I did go on the reason why I bring it up is because I went on the website, and I didn't know they were serving 50-cent beers between
You're
6 and
go?
9. Yeah, 50-cent beers,
He's
and I get
go.
To watch you get dethroned? Absolutely.
No, and then you can book whoever wins for the show on Monday.
I hope you get drunk and fall down the escalator.
There you have it. All right, we'll wrap it up. Turn it over to Fred, AJ, Jong, and the Blitz. They'll take you home. For Barry, for Nick, I'm Joel. You guys have a great night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow right here on The Usual Suspects, ESPN 90s.
ESPN 97.5. Please stand by.
At Giant Eagle, we believe in better. And that includes finding more ways to help you save. Because finding a good deal is everyone's deal. Because every dollar and every moment counts. On sale this season at Giant Eagle, you'll find lower prices on hundreds of favorites, like seedless grapes, ground beef, Giant Eagle American cheese, and more. Giant Eagle, because it matters. Limited time only through September 9th, 2026. Prices and participation may vary. See store for details.